What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents CF Montreal 3 Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
We are back. This is week 3 of CF Montreal 3 Questions. No Ollie Brett this week, but I have John Still and Grant Needham. If you're not familiar with them, Grant Needham, former Montreal Supra, Montreal Impact, original number 9, currently Pointe Claire Sporting Director, general hater of all things official based, officials, referees.
Wow, Grant, good to see you.
Wow,
the beginning of that was really good.
Yeah.
And the ending was outstanding because it's 100% true.
Excellent. And we have John Still, play-by-play man for TSN 690, for CF Montreal games, host of Inside CF Montreal, and also on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Welcome, John.
Way to stretch that title, Amy. Way to stretch that title. That's not nearly as good as yours and Grant's, but I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're not in the Hall of Fame. You don't have a playing career. I thought that was pretty good.
Wow. Shots fired, and we haven't even asked a question yet.
I know. We're gonna get into the three questions. But before I get to like the really important stuff, you guys have covered 2 away games. CF Montreal starts a season with 6 away. How much have you guys missed me on the call?
You weren't on the call?
So much. I missed
there
you so
it
much.
Is. Amazing. Well played, Grant Needham.
John, you told me she wasn't back this year.
I didn't say that at all. Don't you dare start this. Don't you dare start this now.
I talk way too much for you guys not to fucking know I'm there.
Oh, my God. We can swear? Here we go.
Yeah, you can. I
don't know if this was the PG-13 aspect of the internet. I didn't know what was going on.
No, you let it all flow. No,
Amy, you are missed. You are missed on the broadcasts.
Yes.
Because it's only me now making fun of John when he loses his temper when things don't go right.
Yeah, right. Let's not get into that. Let's not do that.
Yeah, the technical marvel that is calling a game from a screen, right? It's not a whole lot of fun sometimes. Okay,
we will get into the questions.
No, I know.
This year has been a whole other level. But anyways, let's get into what's going on the pitch.
Yeah, because a great start for our Montreal club here. They're doing very, very well. So 3 questions that we will get into. So a lot of firsts in this first victory on the road, but it comes at a cost. So is this a concern with a lot of players who have gone down with injuries? Our second question will be, this team has shown that they're dangerous and effective on the break. Who is this team? We talked about their philosophy, what they were going to do, but this is a team that's looked highly effective on the counter. Good game management by coach and players. And I want your opinion on who has made the biggest impact thus far, and who do you see making the biggest impact over the stretch and the course of the season? So we'll start with the first one. So as I said, a game of firsts. So they've only conceded the 1 goal. They get their first victory of 2024. It took them until April of last year, I believe, to get their first result on the road. First for Courtois as an MLS head coach, and their first in Frisco against Dallas in 6 tries. But it does come at a cost. So we knew that Yankov was injured coming into this contest. Opoku slots in for him. He goes down early on. So does Kokoro. Do you guys think in a team that has more depth in this roster than we've seen in recent times, probably back to that year where the record setting year in 2022, is this a concern going forward? We'll start with you, Grant.
I would, in years past, I would say, yes, this is a huge concern because there was limited guys on the bench. But John and I, we've talked about it both games now. The depth that Montreal has this year is something we haven't seen in a long time. Opoku goes down, Vilsay comes in. You know, then you've got Kukara goes down, Martinez comes in. Both those guys coming in score goals. They're the difference makers for this team. So you've got competition throughout the lineup in all the positions. That makes for a much more competitive team on the field. So I think that injuries, if it continues like this, obviously you only have a limited roster you can go with. But this year, more than any other year, I don't think it hurts them as much because of the depth that they've been able to acquire in the offseason.
Yeah. How about you, John?
Yeah, I think it's hard not to be concerned with, you know, never mind the fact that you want guys that you spent a lot of money on, Kakaro and Yankov, to just be able to hit the ground running. And we've seen so many examples either in Major League Soccer or overseas of new guys getting injured. And then it feels like the whole first season is kind of like a wait. So you just want to make sure for those individuals. But Mason Toy is the guy that we haven't even seen in terms of being even on the bench yet. So that gives you a positive. Then at the same time, Mason Toy, all the goals that he scored last year was in one game at Saputo Stadium. So it's like, it's not like you're bringing on someone that you know is going to be someone to deliver the goals. And that's a lot to put on the shoulders of Jules-Anthony Vilsay, who was terrific last week. But at the same time, we saw last year how much pressure they tried to put on his shoulders, and he coped with it well at times. Then at times he looked like a 21-year-old out there on the pitch. And so, midfield wise, I don't worry because we haven't even seen Nathan Saliba, and he might have been CF Montreal's best midfielder. Hasn't even made the bench yet so far this year due to injury.
John,
whenever that Kakaro is out, I look forward to seeing Martinez and Vilsay up top, but I think that they definitely need some more depth up there.
Yeah, two things that you touched upon there eventually, because you came back into the podcast with after a lengthy pause due to internet issues. But anyone who listens to Footy Prime is familiar with that because Craig Forrest frequently wrestles with that. So you're fitting right in here, John Still, and listeners will appreciate that. But you touched on Vilsay, and Courtois talked about him after, saying that he stepped up to the plate when he was needed. And a lot of things sort of came to fruition in action, like the way that he combined, the way he capitalized on opportunities. And I don't think enough has been made about that glorious, sublime touch by Kokoro to set the young man up for that strike. So we've seen this team do things outside the box, a lot more combination play, which I'm sure you're thrilled about, Grant Needham. But you see a guy like Vilsay, as young as he is, and you mentioned, John, about a lot of pressure on his shoulders, but that's as a coach. Courtois talked about, we want to be able to replicate the good things in the opening game against Orlando. And I think they did that in this game. But then you see the individual performances and players stepping up to the plate on top of that. So I think that's a really good thing. And then also about the midfield. So we talk a lot also about that interplay and that combination between Piet and Chouinard in that midfield, the way they keep things ticking. Is it going to be difficult for a guy like Saliba, and John, we'll lead with you here since you mentioned it, to get some playing time, to try to separate those two? And Wanyama did well coming in for about 15 minutes, but it's going to be hard to break up that pairing in the midfield, don't you think?
I think it'll be a challenge, but at the same time...
John, I'm gonna stop you right there because there's something with your mic. I don't know what's going on. Off to a ripper. Gosh, fucking Christ. Go. Okay, so John, before your internet exploded, as well your mic, at 33 years old, you said yourself you should be the person where things should be humming along technology-wise. Not the case. Grant and I are killing you in that regard.
Yeah, I'm in like a Charlie Chaplin mode of technological effectiveness at this point. It's quite sad.
Yeah, it is.
Very sad. We're going to agree with you, John. Very sad.
That's right. And nothing positive to contribute. Nothing. So I'd asked you in particular about the midfield. So is it going to be tough for Saliba coming off that bone bruise to break up that midfield duo of Piet and Schwenier?
I think it'll be tough, but I just think that there's going to be moments where they're going to need a little bit more creativity in there that I don't think Schwenier and Piet necessarily bring. Saliba, I remember a couple real eye of the needle balls last year that he was able to play into to Zachary Broguiard down the right. He just seems to have a little bit of elegance, a little bit different level of class than Schwenier and Piet do. I think at the moment, I think we can all agree that it's going to be in some kind of substitute role, or it's going to take a Schwenier Piet injury. Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. And again, this is CF Montreal, and injuries just seem to come thick and fast. But yeah, it'll be a challenge. But once he gets in there, I think that he has the ability on the ball that'll convince Laurent Courtois to give him a lot more minutes.
Yeah, but he'll have to do the convincing, though. It's a meritocracy. He's going to have to show that he belongs in there. And I will also go to bat for number sixes who do the grunt work, who do all the dirty work, who do all the tackling, because that was my role. And that is an important role to play. I mean, you find the outlet and you get it to somebody who's going to be making that creative kind of slip pass in behind. But what say you, Grant Needham?
I think that this year, more than any other year, there's going to be a rotation in those two spots. They only play with two holding midfielders, two pivot number sixes. So the creativity is the guys dropping off out of the midfield. John and I noticed that, you know, how they play is everything is down the middle. The only guys on the vertical channels are the two wingbacks, Lassiter and Rouen. So everything in the middle. So what you get from Schwenier and Piet is a lot of hard work in the middle, but they're not the guys that start and create from the midfield. Duke drops off, and then you saw Vilsain drop off when he scored the goal. He dropped all the way off, received the ball, turned, played a ball into Rouen, and then continued on his run. So he was linking up. So I think that those two guys, Schwenier and Piet, in the first couple of games, are really there to hunker down and make sure they don't get countered on. They don't break down easily in the midfield. They insulate the back line. They're there for those roles. So you can rotate guys through a little bit more. Last year, Schwenier was so key to this team. He had to be on the field, and they had to find different spots for him. I like him in the midfield, but I also think that now that he has guys, we talked about Saliba, Wanyama, Piet, Schwenier, just to name a few, those are four guys vying for two spots. You're going to rotate those guys through a little bit more because the job that you're asking them to do, all four of them can do. You're not asking them to stretch out and go, be more than what those roles are required of them. So I think that, yes, it's been great so far, but you saw Wanyama comes on for Piet. Nothing changed. The game didn't change at all for Montreal. Last year, when you had guys subbing in, the game changed, and it didn't change in a better way. So I think that this year there's going to be more competition in those four roles, but I think you're going to see a lot more rotation. And you won't have a Schwenier at the end of the season exhausted because he had to be on the field every single game. So I think that even though it's a critical role, don't get me wrong, and I know you played that position and I hate to give you kudos, but that role is the anchor that makes the team that makes the team go, right? So those two guys have been outstanding, and that's why they've been successful on the road. Last year, a couple of those early games, Montreal would have come away with 3-4-0 losses. But because these guys have their role, the team is so well organized compared to what we saw at any stage of last year. I think that, again, those midfielder guys, they can rotate them through, and we'll see those new faces coming into the lineup because they have a role and they're going to do that job, and then everything else around them will be fine.
Yeah, for sure. I think definitely not a concern, I think, because there's true depth in this squad now, which helps them through injury spells like this, but also serves to raise the collective level of the team. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be back. We'll answer our next two questions.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
John, don't hit your desk, because I thought you were going to bang his desk when he knocked on wood. I'm like, there we go. There the goes the mic.
The whole setup comes down.
The whole thing crashes.
And the house of cards is fallen.
He's not actually active in the media.
He's at his own apartment.
Yeah.
I have nothing on the walls. I'm like a serial killer in here. It does. I have blank walls everywhere.
Yeah. No, John, still it does have a little bit sort of mental institution vibes happening right there. Maybe bring in like a Liverpool or like a Celtic kind of.
Isn't that the vibe that I'm going for?
Oh, mental institution.
Me. Okay.
Are the walls padded?
Way to say it. Nailed it. There you go.
That's right. It's the Pinterest. Nailed it. All right.
Excellent.
Okay. So we're talking about the midfield duo of Piet and Chouinard and linking up and starting the attack. But I think their role in insulating the back line in this team, how solid and cohesive they look defensively, is a big part of how well they're doing on the road. But this team under Courtois, we knew they were going to be more patient in possession, valuing that, trying to keep the ball, drawing in defenders, trying to create space. But the two goals that they scored in particular against FC Dallas were highly vertical, clear intent, line-breaking passes, finding Rouen in that right channel. So this is a team who's dangerous and effective on the break, but also highly adaptable. So they're exploiting the space where they see it. They're not just staying rigidly within the confines of what their philosophy is meant to be. So is this also what we're going to see as the season stretches on? We're going to see the identity of this team, but we're also going to see them sort of take what the other team is giving them. And is that Courtois? Is that the players? Is it a combination of both?
Man, I think that number one, you saw them be extremely vertical and extremely direct in their first match. I was very surprised. It felt like you were watching Hernan Losada manage the team again. And I was thinking, well, as much as I enjoy the holdup play of Kakaro, and he did a far better job than I thought that he was going to do, I was thinking this is not going to be sustainable long term for them to be able to continue doing this. Vilsain gives you a little bit more physicality. He struggled at times with it, but I thought he did well against Dallas. But yeah, I think it does look like they're going to be a little bit more adaptable. And maybe it is the fact that, you know, you're trying to we saw over the first six games last year where they were just abysmal. They were trying to understand, OK, this is how Hernan Losada wants to play. And then it always came off as we're trying to break what Wilfred Nancy taught us more so than it was what Hernan Losada is asking us to do. And I'm surprised by that, by a team that needed training camp and all that stuff. But it does feel at moments like it's a little bit of Nancy and a little bit of Losada. And does that mean Courtois? I really don't know. Through two matches, I don't know. But so far, they've been able to find a proper balance between what they want to do and, like you were saying, what the team gives them. I'm curious to see in the next three. Well, I mean, they're facing Miami this weekend, so I have no idea what the hell is going to happen. But in the matches ahead, I'm very curious to see if we'll see a little bit more of a obvious, this is Laurent Courtois football, because yeah, it does seem like they're being very pragmatic and very adaptable at the moment.
Yeah, I think that we got to remember this is only games on the road. Two games under the belt for the coaching staff, Courtois and the coaching staff. You're on the road. Your job on the road is not to entertain. It's not to play beautiful football. It's to get results. And that's exactly what they've been able to do. I think that we talk about offensively, they're knocking the balls long, and that's great. You know, they play in the channels. They keep everything centrally defensively. They draw, their press is so narrow, like just the middle channel, and only the, you know, we talked about it, Lassiter and Rouen on the outside of the only ones in those vertical channels on the outside with the width. Everything's in the middle. So they are not giving anything away in the dangerous areas. And then we saw, John and I were looking at and commenting that when they get broken down, they drop and their block is so low and they're very comfortable with that. Back line is at the 18. And Kakaro, the front guy, is 15 yards in front. There's no space to play in. And then when they get the possession, they're not afraid to play it a little bit. We saw a little bit more of them playing through the midfield in the second game. First game, John's right. They were getting it. They were knocking it long, seeing what was going to happen. But I also think that we haven't seen an identity from Montreal yet. You're two games in. And both those games are on the road in places that you have not been successful in the past. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the first thing that Courtois said is, we're going to give up nothing in the back. And they've given up nothing. You know, and then it also helps that your keeper makes outstanding saves when called upon. And Sirwa has been brilliant in those regards as well. But I think as a team, they're organized and they understand when they have an opportunity to go forward, they go forward, but they know where to go. Rouen on the right-hand side has been fantastic for them. He's a guy that has really stretched the field. Imagine having a guy like this game in, game out, going up and down. That opens up space for Lassiter on the left. And then you've got guys like Martinez, who's a proven goal scorer. You've got Vilsaines trying to prove himself. You've got Duke, who last game was outstanding. First game, I thought he got a little bit lost in the physicality, like John was saying. But so you've got players that are trying to find themselves under a new coach on the road. I think if you were Montreal and you had on the chalkboard, okay, this is where we want to be after game six of a road trip, I think you're way ahead of where you thought you would be after two games. Yeah. So I think that we haven't really established what Courtois wants to do, but Lozada was afraid to play in the middle. Courtois is not afraid to do that. He's got a lot of bodies in the middle and he likes the little ticky-tacky playing around like that. So that already is better than it was last year. And it's going to where Nancy used to like to have possession in all the zones of the field. Montreal's a little bit more direct, but on the road, it's worked. They've got results. So I'm interested to see how the next four games play out, but I'm even more interested to see how they do at home and what difference of a style they want to bring to the table when they play at home.
Yeah, I think as you said, it's a small sample size. It's two games where they're away, where they want to get results. The identity, I think, will emerge. But you talked about Duke. I love the way that he dropped. Like, you had your two pivots and Piet and Chouinard, but you had Duke, who was really active in the half spaces and was able to combine on the flanks. Last year, what I think they were sorely lacking, I mean, there was a myriad of things they were lacking, but they were just so predictable in the channels. Whereas this year you have a guy like Rouen, who on both sides of the ball is giving you hard work, is giving you physicality. Yeah. He's like a presence there, but active going forward and an integral part of both of those goals. But one thing, though, and I will kind of nitpick a little bit, while they have looked really solid defensively, when they're dropping back in that organized team discipline shape, which is very impressive, they're in their defensive third, closing down the ball, just getting onto that ball carrier, preventing dangerous crosses or preventing shots has been a weakness of this team. Have you guys noticed that in the two games?
Well, more with Orlando, with Santos on the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. Every time he touched the ball, he was whipping balls into the box and they were curling in behind the back line. I thought they did a much better job against Dallas getting out to those guys. First game, Orlando was a little bit more dangerous on those set – when the ball gets out to the left, especially with Santos, who was whipping the balls into the behind. But I think Montreal recognized that, adjusted. At the end of the – you've got to remember that you're playing against two of the teams, Orlando and Dallas, that were beasts last year in this league. They were causing all kinds of problems. So, not giving anything up to Orlando, only giving one up to Dallas. I think that they are looking at the tapes. They're recognizing what needs to be done and the adjustments are being made, which is something we didn't see at all last year. I think that the organization of what Courtois has done with this team in a short sample size is very impressive in the early goings of the season.
Yeah. And to your point, John, like the body language where you're like, is this Nancy? Is this Lozada? Like, what are they going to be under Courtois? The players, there's a fearlessness about the group. They're comfortable. They're composed because I think the directives from the coach are clear. They understand what their respective roles are within the structure of the squad and the structure of the side.
And just speaking to some of the players at Media Day at the start of the year, Boy, it was tough last year. I know we all suspected that it was, and we're trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here and there, and who's got problems with who, and all. Just like being able to see these guys just relax. It looked like they had all just taken a breath. Like, all right, we got a guy who talks to us. Number one, who makes it extremely clear what we want to do out there, both individually as a player. And I do think the thing that stood out to me, and I kind of mentioned this in the broadcast after the first game, is Laurent Courtois gets his first points as CF Montreal manager in that first match against Orlando. First thing he says in the press conference is, I'm gutted for Mason Toy and Jules Anthony Vilsain and the guys who I wasn't able, Ilias Iliadis, like, you know, Vilsain we expect is going to be much more of a focal point, but Toy and Iliadis, I mean, is it surprising that they're going to be guys who are just on the outside looking in? He goes out of his way in his first press conference as manager after a match to say, I feel terrible that I had to leave those guys out. That's just something I need to do. Like, from just a personal standpoint, to be able to relate to your players and understand, I know you guys are going to be pissed. I understand that this is not going to be an easy job, but I hear you. And in training, everything's kind of a new slate next week. I just think that from being able to relate to his players outside of the tactical and all the other things that we're going to see in the days, weeks, months ahead, whatever, he just seems like a much more relatable player. And we know that with the athletes that we have, no matter what sport it is in 2024, you need to be able to relate to your players. And Courtois just seems to have taken to that like a duck to water.
Yep, he has done. So to that end, what player, and we talked about it being a small sample size, we're well aware they're only two games in. We'll start with you, John. Who has made the biggest impact thus far? And then who do you see being not just a team talisman in terms of goals for a team that was starved for goals last year, but who will be the most impactful over the course of the season if you had to look into your crystal ball?
I would say it's going to sound bad saying this right off the bat. Silva. Like, he has an absolutely brilliant 10-bell save in the 80th to 90th minute, seemingly every game. 85th last year and this year, we've just seen a huge monster save. There was the one on Torres last week, and then there was the one where he claws it off the line, off the header this week. And you're just thinking, okay, well, without that, we're talking about a whole different myriad of things when it comes to this team. So for them to have a real kind of go-to keeper, if I'm talking about an outfield player, defensively, they've looked so, so solid. And the way that Waterman has just kind of walked into being in the middle of that back three, and it's been no problem whatsoever. The way that he and Corbo relax, again, we saw last week Campbell being a little bit more, you know, George Campbell-y than we saw last year. But for the most part, I mean,
Don't know what George Campbell-y is, could you define that?
George Campbell-y is you know, just a little bit of a little bit of a freak out is what I would say. It's just at any given moment, just a little bit of a spaz. You just, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen.
Well, you could see in 10 seconds, you could get the best of George Campbell.
Right.
And the worst of George Campbell all in 10 seconds, wins the ball back and then goes galloping up the field against seven players and loses the ball again. And you're thinking,
yeah,
you did something great, secure the ball, but nope, you got the best and the worst. And that's,
George Campbell, it's like short, like a Coles Note version of like Dickens. It was like, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. In like a three second clip.
I'm trying to think of
no, like, that okay. seems to be going out of his game. And I think in his defense, he's still a really young man who's still growing and developing as a player.
We do forget that.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to compare it to like Flea on the bass for Red Hot Chili Peppers, where he's doing something incredible. He's doing something incredible playing it. And then every once in a while, he just goes like crazy. He just like loses his mind. And you're like, okay, let's just, can we just calm down? But the way that Joel Waterman.
That's been reined in, right?
That's right. And I'm not going to give all the credits to Joel Waterman. I mean, Loha Sima clearly, Loha Courtois, like they've clearly talked to this player. They know. And I've been surprised that he's been able to keep a guy like natural left-footed player like Alvarez out of the lineup because, again, just putting it down on paper, being able to have Alvarez on the left, Corbo on the right, Waterman in the middle makes a ton of sense. But the way that that back line has looked so settled throughout the first two matches, I would say that if I had to pick an outfield player, it's been Waterman so far through two games.
I like that shout. How about you, Grant?
Honorable mention, I'll go to – I like Duke. I really liked Duke's game last one against Dallas. I thought he got a little bit physically pushed around in the Orlando, got a little bit tired, and then started going off the boil a little bit. But against Dallas, he was doing defensive work. He was finding those pockets of space when they had possession. That's the Duke that you think, this guy can go next level. And then, you know, Orlando, he looked good and then he faded. So I like Duke, but the guy that's been impressive for me is Rouen on the right-hand side. He changes how Montreal attacks. And he also gives you, he's the first guy up there. He's the one that sets up, you know, knocks that ball. Caccaro just lays it down for Vilsain. Vilsain scores. But that all starts with Vilsain dropping back, turning, playing a through ball, Rouen using his pace to get all the way up. 10 seconds later, you know, he's all the way back defending and sliding and making sure that his right side is secure. So I think that with a guy like that, it fits right into the system of what Montreal is looking to be. Courtois has a guy on the right-hand side that can go up and down. He's an engine. He's talented. He's skillful. He's good defensively. He's smart. He draws professional fouls, and he, you know, those things where he just sits there, guy bumps him in the back, he goes down, kills 30 seconds to let things settle for his team, which no one on Montreal. And no one on Montreal.
There was last week. What was that shove near the byline? And he just went
flying. But it was a call that he gets. It slows the game down. He looks at the rest of the guys. He's a veteran presence on the side. So I think that him on the right-hand side really gives Montreal a different dimension. By having him on the right, Lassiter becomes less as a focal point, and that's better for him. If he has to be the main guy, I don't think he's up for the task. But because he's the secondary guy and he gets in there and he doesn't have to take someone on and whip it in, which he doesn't have the ability, he just has to be solid on the left-hand side because down the right is where they attack. So I like Duke. You know, obviously, Chouinard and Piet have done great defensively, but Rouen on the right-hand side for me has been a great acquisition in the offseason. And he's someone that slots into your right fullback. And now defensively, you're sound. And he gives you a dimension going forward that they'd never had. Even with Brogiard there, Brogiard could score goals, but he was a little inconsistent. Rouen is consistent on that right-hand side. He's outstanding for me. So far, he's been the guy I've been most impressed with in the first two games.
And then projected over the course of the season?
I think that, again, you have competition. So now you've got a guy that is obviously...
Answer the question, Needham.
Penciled in. I think that you're going to have competition, and now everyone's going to step up. I don't know if you see Rouen every game.
Yeah.
But I think he makes everyone better because of his professionalism and his ability on the right-hand side. But if you are going with it now, he, for me, is the guy that has made a difference instantly for Montreal.
Yeah, I love that on a second goal, too. I think you're seeing a nice synergy and partnership developing between he and Martinez.
Yeah.
That second goal, Bryce Duke, I don't think, gets enough credit for nutmegging that player deep in his own third.
It was a
great... And then finds Rouen, and then he starts to move centrally, and he goes at that defender, which allows Martinez to sort of slip in behind, perfectly weighted pass, and that was Rouen's. Like, he was the architect of that goal, absolutely. And then one quick note on Bryce Duke, because I loved him, and last year, I don't know if you guys remember, I interviewed him on a sideline, and I called him Duke Bryce. Do you remember that? Huge gaff on my part.
There was a few things on the sidelines.
Oh, I know. There's a few, but I'm singling that moment out. So do you guys think it's like a two-faced thing? Like, I think he's really coming into his own as a player. He has been inconsistent. So do you guys think good Bryce Duke? Like, that's like the good side, or like the good lighting on Seinfeld, and then the bad lighting would be Duke Bryce? Like Bryce Duke and Duke Bryce?
I think that what you get...
I love that. I just want to go with... why don't we just call him the Duke? The Duke, wow. And then we'll go. I don't know what else to go with. What he's
that would
he's
be
not
like
playing
man
well.
Of the match, right? That would
right
be
exactly when he's at like a 9/10, 10/10 on Grant Needham's grades.
So we don't have to worry about that.
The thing about him is that, like in that first match, he looked like the wildly inconsistent Bryce Duke that we saw last year, where, you know, he doesn't have the pace that the smaller guys who can't really handle the physicality seemingly have in Major League Soccer. And then you watch him last week and the physicality was no problem. It wasn't that he had a lot of pace, but the agility, he was just able to dart in and out of little spaces. And, you know, like, I don't want to compare him to a player, but like, can he do some of the things that Ryan Gauld does for the Whitecaps, where like Gauld is not the paciest. He's not, you know, he's not going to be the biggest guy at any given time, but he's able to just like operate in those tiny little pockets and then move out and pop back in. And you saw, I think, the best of what you want to see from Bryce Duke last week. And if Yankov's out for any longer period of time, they really need some creativity in the middle of the park. And he brought that. Him and Phil Saint just seemingly had like this kind of connection synergy, like you were talking about, Amy. Yeah. And so I guess we saw Duke Bryce in the first match and Bryce Duke in the second.
Yeah, I love it. Well, long may it continue, because it's good to see, again, just over the course of two games, a progression and this team kind of moving somewhere. And so I think expectations raised, the bar has been raised, but I think they will continue to meet them. But I'd like to thank you both for joining me on CF Montreal. Three questions Footy, brought to you by Footy Prime. And then today, I have to mention our sponsors. So FuboTV.com/Footy Prime if you want to sign up. TonyBet if you want to place any wagers on Premier League, Serie A, Women's Gold Cup, huge semifinal clash tomorrow night. We are recording Tuesday, so Wednesday night late, Canada versus the U.S. Hopefully Canada comes out the winners there. But yeah, thank you again. And keep tuning in for all your CF Montreal news and keep supporting independent podcasts. Wait, where can people find you guys?
Oh, first I was just going to say, I miss us. I miss us.
I miss
One,
us
two, three. Too. I miss us together. What the hell's going on here?
Are you trying to get us to say I miss us together?
No.
One, two, three.
No.
I miss us. Do you want to like
this is not some Sesame Street thing.
I know, that's what I thought you were trying to go with there, John. I'm like, I don't understand.
I was just saying I miss us. It's nice to do this. Very silly, lovely banner that you can check on TSN 690 on game days for the most part this season. You can find me on Twitter at I'm Still John, I-M-S-T-I-L-L-J-O-N. And yeah, on Melick in the Afternoon, 2 to 6 every day, and doing a play-by-play for CF Montreal throughout this season. On TSN 690 is what I should say.
Anything you want to
plug? Not really. I'm trying to see what my actual handle is on Twitter. I have no idea.
You've just lost.
Call Grant Needham for all your technical support.
That's exactly right. That's it. No.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by FuboTV and by TonyBet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Cheers for listening.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/Footy Prime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Oh.